Friday, April 30th.
On Air Force One en route to Southern California, we had quite a discussion on the press conference and general reaction for it. He wanted to be sure that we got all the follow-up going. Also, some discussion of the value of press conferences, frequency, and so forth, the usual kind of discussion that we get into on follow-up. He came up with the idea of having a press conference tomorrow on domestic policy only at the Western White House residence with no TV coverage. And we had Ron in and got over the point that the president wanted to cover the economy, the housing issue, minimum wage, the question of who is our economic spokesman, revenue sharing, welfare reform, and so on, and felt that he had missed that opportunity at the TV conference last night, and so should take a stab at it tomorrow. So we're going ahead and set that up. He also wanted to be sure we pick up all the lines out of the press conference last night. He was especially pleased with the point that he had broken the ice with China, and now we have to test the water. The point that we're not working just for peace in our time, but for peace in their time, referring to the children who were demonstrating. And the point that they may judge him harshly now, but he's more concerned with how they judge him later. The other follow-up thing he was particularly concerned about was that I hit the State Department and everyone else, but particularly State, on no more speculation regarding China. He had me call Jack Irwin, which I did from the plane, to make it bluntly clear that he was not referring to the press when he was hitting people for speculation. He was referring to the State Department, and that they are now ordered to say nothing about China from now on. In talking with Al Haig on this subject on the plane, the president made the point that in describing Nixon, you have to make the point that he's always like the iceberg. You see only the tip. You must never think that the surface is all that's going on. The real power is beneath the surface. He was discussing this in relation to Russia and China. He wanted to be sure that we got word to all our troops, as well as the State Department people, and also to the congressional leaders and so on, just to make the point that everybody should keep quiet about China at this point and let things work their own way out, at least for the time being. After we arrived at Pendleton, we had an excellent Marine ceremony. The president moved into the crowd afterwards and got some darn good receptions from the Marines and their families. Then up to San Clemente, where he holed up over at the residence for the rest of the day. B.B., Bob Aplinalp, and Hope Lewis are all out here to join him for the weekend. Kleindienst called with a problem that Packard won't permit the use of federal troops to handle the Washington demonstrators unless there's a proclamation, or unless he's ordered to do so without a proclamation by the president. This gets into the factor of what level the president becomes involved. The proclamation would require the president to determine a general disorder, federalize the National Guard, and put the general in charge of the troops, which is just what we don't want to do. So we told him that the president was ordering that the troops be provided without proclamation, and that's what they're going to go ahead and do. He had his pals over for a drink at 4:30 and dinner at 5 because he wanted to get to bed early, which he did at 7:45, trying to stay basically on Eastern time, end of April 30th.